You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Morning 9 a.m. service. Just give a high five to your seatmate or greet your seatmate or give them a handshake or whatever is your normal way of greeting someone. Today, we're going to go through the third installment of our Unwavering series. If you're here for the first time, you're wondering what this series is all about. It's basically our faith series. We're spending the next couple of weeks talking about faith because as a believer, faith is really important. We live by faith. Perhaps some of us here today, we're wondering, how can we have those great breakthroughs? How can we experience amazing testimonies? And this series will greatly encourage and teach us how to do so. And this series, as we talk about faith, is basically a character study on the life of Abraham. Perhaps the most well-known character, Bible character, when it comes to faith in the Old Testament. Every time we talk about faith or someone who embodied great faith, perhaps one of the first names that comes to mind is this guy, see Abraham. The so-called man of faith. In fact, he was part of the group of people listed in the book of Hebrews in the hall of faith, the Hebrews chapter 11, that list of people. So it tells us a great deal that we can learn a lot from the life, including you know, his successes and his mistakes. We can learn a lot from the life of Abraham. Now, a quick recap, in week one, we talked about faith and relationship. That is to say, when we talk about faith, it's not just about having a set of principles or believing a set of rules. When we talk about faith, faith is first and foremost a call to a God-initiated relationship. That is, when it boils down to it, faith is about our relationship with God. The better or the stronger, the more we know God and our relationship with God grows, the stronger our faith is. And in week two, we talked about faith and the Word. What does the Word of God have to do with our faith? If week one was understanding that the start of faith involves having a relationship with God, and we need to trust and know who God is. In the second installment, we got to learn that the Word of God is really important in strengthening our relationship with God because faith comes by hearing the Word. It is expressed by obeying the Word, and it is secured in the Word. Faith comes from hearing the Word. We get to know more of who God is and trust and grow in our relationship with God through the Word of God. That's how important the Word of God is for our faith. And for this week, for week three, we're going to talk about faith and purpose. What does purpose have to do with faith for us believers? O say point ano connected ang faith and purpose. And if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 20. In verse 10, it says there, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake.' When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princess of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and then the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abraham. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.' And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." As I said earlier, our installment for today talks about faith and purpose. Now, for the past couple of weeks, we've talked a lot of faith. But just to give a quick definition of what purpose is, before we dive into the verse we just read, or the passages we just read a while ago, purpose means the reason why something is done or used, or it's the aim or intention of doing something. The reason why things exist, why we exist, or why something exists, why we do certain things, that is purpose. Why we do things a certain way. Why do we eat? Why do we sleep? Why does this thing exist? That is purpose. And purpose is pretty much, you know, closely tied with faith, with our faith. So if we want to grow in our faith, we need to have a good understanding of purpose. And Now, as believers, the good thing with us when it comes to purpose is that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you know, Paul writes here and he's encouraging the believers, not for us believers, for followers of Jesus, for we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to remind all of us here today, church, that God has prepared something for us to do. That we came here in this world, we were not just to become consumers. Dili lang tapang consume og oxygen. We're not just here to eat, to sleep, to fill up this world. We're here for a reason. God called us to do certain things. He says here that He prepared good works for us to do beforehand. And we should walk in them. We should accomplish them. In fact, the Bible says that we are Christ's workmanship. Many of us know that. We've probably heard of this verse. But how many of us know as well that we're not just Christ's workmanship or His masterpiece? Okay, but we are His masterpiece because as well, He's prepared certain things for us to do. God has great plans or has a great destiny for you, church. Perhaps some of us here today, we have discredited ourselves because certain mistakes or certain things we've done in the past. As we dive into the verses that we're going to read in a while, I hope and I pray that this will greatly encourage us to believe, to be reminded that God has great plans for us. Regardless of our status right now, church, we are God's workmanship and has prepared great things for us to do. We have a purpose. Can you still receive it for a while? You have a purpose. And let's dive in straight to Genesis chapter 12, in verse 2. As we're talking about purpose, for Abraham naman, as we're talking about calling and purpose, we all have a specific calling and purpose in life. Yes, at the end of it all, it's to glorify God. It's to honor God. But specifically, we have different roles as well. For Abraham naman, it says here in verse 2, God gave him a promise. God called him to accomplish and do something that He was going to fulfill in Abraham's life. It says here in verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God gave a specific call to Abraham, and that call was to have a greater prosperity, to become a great nation, and to be a blessing to many, not just to himself or to his family, but to other nations. That was his purpose, Abraham's purpose in life. God called him to do this thing, that he was going to accomplish these things. God was going to do all these things in his life. That was Abraham's purpose, to live out those things. And we're going to look into the next part in the story of Abraham as he lives his life in accomplishing that purpose. I'm going to show you this quick map of Abraham's journey. For the first 2 weeks, we talked about Abraham leaving Ur, his previous hometown. He went to a place called Haran. Then God called him again to go to Canaan. And in the verse we just read a while ago, okay, now we're in Canaan na. He's in Canaan, and later on, as we read to the verses, Abraham went on this road trip again. Nagbiyahe naman si Abraham to the land of Egypt. And we're going to learn why he did so, why he traveled so, and what this means for us. So let's dive into verse 10. It says here, now there was famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. The first part there was famine in the land. It talks about the land of Canaan. Abraham had left Haran, the home where he had spent a great deal of his years with his father, with some of his relatives. But after God called him a second time in Haran, he left Haran. Lot, his nephew, went with him, and he went to the promised land that God had called him. In the verses before this, remember, God called Abraham, go to this land that I'm promising to you, a land that you do not know of. And yet he obeyed faithfully kang God. He left his hometown and went for Canaan. He went there believing the promises that God had told him. All those verses we just read in verse 2. I'm going to bless you, make you a great nation. You're going to be a blessing to many. You're going to prosper and all that. Abraham left believing and holding on to those promises that God had given him. And he went, relocated himself to the land of Canaan. But as he went there, sometime later, it says here, now there was famine in the land of Canaan. When you say famine, it's like ang area nila, walay mutubo. There's no vegetation much or wala kayo food makuha niya. There was famine in the land of Canaan. So imagine yourself, if you were Abraham, imagine that you left your previous home, you're believing the promises of God, you went to Canaan to experience take hold, to live out the promises God has given you. And when you're there, one day, famine came. Famine came about. And perhaps for some of us, we'd wonder, Lord, asan ang promise? Lord, there's famine in the land. Have you ever experienced kanang mga advertisements of food? You see the commercial, tsada kayong food, expectation versus reality. Tsada kayong burger lang taon sa picture, sa commercial, or sa poster. And when you got it, when you ordered it, it looks something like this. I mean, you, and here, you experience that. Diba? Like, excited na kayo ka, ready na ka to unpack. Excited to look, and baga kayo ang burger lang taon, nakastock siya. But when you open it, it looked less. Siguro, lami ragyapon siya, but it's not what you expected. Expectation versus reality. And for Abraham, looking back at what happened to him, perhaps he felt that way. Lord, asa naman ang promise ni mo, Lord? Perhaps some of us here, we're experiencing something like that. I don't know what God has promised in your life, church. I don't know, church alone, in your life, church, yes. I don't know what your promises you're holding on to, what you're believing for, God. Or maybe you're experiencing part of it now. God has called you to do something. You move in faith. Lord, here I am, moving, doing it. But somehow, when you look around you, not everything is going well. For some of us here today, we can relate to Abraham here. We have questions. Lord, you know, I move in faith. Lord, I'm taking this job. Lord, I'm taking this course. Lord, I'm doing my best in my job. But why are these things happening around me? I believe in faith. Lord, I wanted to get married. Here I am now. I'm married. But Lord, these things are happening in my marriage right now. These things are happening in my family right now. These certain things are happening in my life. Or maybe it's more of, Lord, I started walking with you. Lord, now here I am. I'm walking with you now. You're excitedly walking with God and you're expecting breakthroughs upon breakthroughs upon breakthroughs. But somehow lately, you've had failures. You've had difficulties. You have challenges. It's not as easy or as simple or as festive or as exciting as it once was before. Maybe there's some areas in your life you're thinking, Lord, why is there famine in my land, Lord? Why is this, there's some area in my life that, Lord, there's something wrong. I thought I was moving with you. I thought I was following you, Lord. Where's the blessing now? Where's the promises now? Lord, I opened my Bible up yesterday, Lord. I hold on to my promise. Lord, asa na. Perhaps some of us here today, we can relate to Abraham when it comes to that. We have expectations when it comes to God's promises being fulfilled. And we're thinking, Lord, this is reality. I look around and there's famine. Abraham experienced something like that. There was famine in his land. And what happened next? It says here, so Abraham went down Egypt to sojourn there. Abraham did what many of us would do when the going gets tough. When things get difficult, when you get pressured, when you feel like we don't know what to do, and when we panic, when we get anxious and fearful, Abraham did what many of us have done or do. And that is, we do what we want to do. We do things our own way. Magbuot-buota. If you look at the verse and the verses leading up to in the story, nowhere in the Bible did God told Abraham, Abraham, go to Egypt. Abraham, there's famine in your land. Go to this place so that you may have food. To be fair with Abraham, the verse says that famine was severe in their land. I'm not talking here about when you open your ref, wakay mas snack, so mo doang 7-Eleven, you buy food, kay gutom lang ka in the middle of the night. We're talking about something that could kill you. Famine. They could starve to death. In their time, their culture, church, walay delivery, walay fast food. They had to harvest food, hunt food, gather food. It was life and death. And take note, Abraham had a large household. He had many livestock to feed. And of course, in Spanish, livestock, dakan buchag mga servants and house helps to help him. He had a large group of people and animals to feed. Famine had a devastating effect for his life. So you could imagine the pressures that he is facing. And that's why he did as many of us would do when we face pressure and challenges. And that is, we do our own thing. Abraham left without any guidance, without any word from God, without any instruction from God, without God speaking and meeting him. He just left. He left the land of Canaan, the land of promise that God had called him to go. Just a few verses from this, if you read verses 7 to 9, you read that Abraham, when he went into that land, the promised land, he would build altars. He built two altars to honor to God, to glorify God. He built two altars. Then in verse 10, he leaves the land. Dali ra kayo ang transition. Lord, here I am in the promised land. I'm experiencing it. Lord, here's an altar. I'll honor you. I'll worship you. Then in verse 10, pahawa siya. Lord, lisod na rin ang land. Lord, I'm gonna leave. And perhaps for some of us, we can relate to that a lot. We've heard the promises of God. We've read it in the Word. We know that God is doing these things in life. We know we can trust God. We know He's a provider. He's faithful. He is God. And yet somehow down the line, there have been moments in your life that we've taken the steering wheel and say, Lord, I think we should do this. Lord, wala kay give what, Lord? Word, asa ka? May problema. We need to act now, Lord. So I'm gonna do this, Lord. We've done so many things that God has not instructed us to do, much like Abraham did. And that's the whole reason why we're on this road trip ni Abraham. He went to Egypt, not because God told him to, but because he was moving in fear. And here's the thing, if moving in faith takes us into the center of God's will for our lives, moving in fear takes us out of it. I'm not saying di nata mabless or di nata love ni God, I'm not saying that, but if moving in faith places us in, you know, wherever God wants us best to be, in the center of His will in our lives, moving in fear takes us out of that center. For Abraham, it was in Canaan. That was the promised land of God for him. Be here, Abraham. And he left. He went out of it because he was in fear. He was anxious. Yes, he had a legitimate reason to be in fear, starvation, and dying. I believe all of us here at one point in your life, nagutom ta. Can you imagine dying because of starvation? And yes, as legitimate as it was, you know, because he moved in fear, not in faith, he moved out of the center of God's will for his life. And that's what happens. And in verse 11, okay, nagka domino effect na. In verse 11, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a woman of beautiful in appearance. Anyone here, you're married, mga husbands? Husbands, would you agree that your wife is beautiful? Diba? Oh, kusuga ang yes. Abraham knew that his wife was beautiful. But here's the thing, dili lang siya, you know, flatter lang Abraham ang wife niya. Uy, beautiful ka. It's more than that. It says here, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So medyo na paranoia si Abraham as he was going to Egypt. Verse 13, say you are my sister that it may go well with me because of you and that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abraham entered Egypt, okay, true enough, the Egyptians saw that the woman was beautiful. Verse 15, then the princess of Pharaoh saw her. They praised her to Pharaoh and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So here we saw this interesting exchange of conversation between Abraham and his wife Sarai. They're going to Egypt, and as they're going, so Abraham knew that his wife was beautiful, not just subjectively for him. Okay, as we've seen this verse, because in verse 14 says here, when they entered Egypt, the Egyptians acknowledged niya beautiful si Sarai. And here again, in the second instance, we see Abraham moving in fear. Okay, mga mugawas nga, you know, Abraham was still far off from the man of faith that he would be later on. Okay, he had his ups and downs. This was one of his earliest failures. The first was leaving Egypt, and now Abraham, as they were entering Egypt, okay, nagplano na si Abraham. Okay, he somehow, whatever his reasons for believing that people were gonna kill him in Egypt, okay, kay guapa yung wife and kwao ng wife sa iya, all right. Abraham planned with Sarai, okay, tell people that I'm your brother. Okay, igsuunta. Padili ko patyo nila. Okay, and true enough, in verse 14, again, the Egyptians knew or acknowledged that Sarai was beautiful. And here's what happened. The princess of Pharaoh, okay, girecommend na si Pharaoh, uy, nagwapang bayan dito. Okay, sister atong guy. And through that, Sarai was taken into Pharaoh's house to become probably one of his wives or one of his concubines. And again, they were married now at this time. And Abraham let this happen because he was afraid of dying. Married people, I don't think any of us here would want that to happen. Uy, sige na, para mabuhi ko. Lakaw, kuyog-kuyog ato niya. And that's what Abraham did. Out of his fear, again, we have this second instance of Abraham moving in fear and doing something complicated. Ari Bar David, A teacher said that when we are doing things that are not clearly what God told us to do, we can easily find ourselves entering into troubles that we didn't plan before. As we talk about fulfilling God's purpose in your life or moving in great faith, here's the thing, whenever we move not in faith, whenever we start doing things that God didn't tell us to do, like what Abraham is experiencing, God didn't tell him to get out of Egypt, God didn't tell him to give his wife to Pharaoh so that he may live. Wala instruction. So far in this story, we have not seen God spoke. It's all Abraham doing things. And every time Abraham does things on his own, it gets him into more trouble. Every time we do something, we easily find ourselves entering into troubles that we didn't plan before. And perhaps some of us here today, we can relate to that. Those times we've shortcutted or schemed our way through certain things because we couldn't wait on God, or we were anxious about, Lord, will you do something in my life? When we didn't move in faith, but with doubt and worries, anxieties creep in. One thing to note as well in this story is if you look at it again, God had not spoken to Abraham yet, not given him instruction yet. And that speaks a lot that when we don't have the Word of God in us, we don't read or hear from the Word of God, we let fears, worries, and doubts creep into our minds. We let other things dictate how we move, how we react, how we feel. That is the importance of hearing the Word of God, of reading the Word of God. Because remember, again, in week 2, faith comes by hearing or reading the Word of God. That's why Abraham was able to move in faith in the first place, because God spoke to him. And yet in this story, in the famine story, God had not yet spoken to him. He could have waited, but because he didn't wait, he was anxious and fearful, he left. And that got him into trouble. He was moving in fear now, not in faith. Instead of living a life that would accomplish the plans of God's purposes in his life, he was living a life just trying to survive. Naka-survival mode na si Abraham. Just to survive, doing all these things to survive. Verse 16, as we move on, says here, and for her sake, for Sarai's sake, he, the Pharaoh, dealt well with Abraham, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and male camels. In other words, the Pharaoh gave many gifts to Abraham because he thought brothers Abraham and Sarai. It was customary in their culture now when you would take a wife or a woman for yourself, you would give something to the family, like a dowry. So Abraham had a lot of things. And when you look at it in face value from a human perspective, it's like, all right, okay, Abraham left a place of famine. Now, he's plentiful. Okay? Parang okay naman ang hitabo ni Abraham. Okay, he schemed his way through things and it looks like he got things off easy and it looks good. Okay? But there are consequences when we disobey God. Abraham, okay, didn't obey God. Okay? Did wrong things. Okay? Gave his wife to another guy. And here's the thing what happened in verse 17. Here comes God now, correcting the direction in Abraham's life. It says here, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. As Sarai was taken into the house of Pharaoh, the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his household. And, you know, and perhaps, and most likely rather, okay, Abraham was not afflicted. Because if he was afflicted, if everyone is afflicted, the Pharaoh wouldn't realize what's wrong. But because Abraham probably and his wife Sarai were not afflicted, Pharaoh could know that there's something wrong here. Ano man nagkasakit? Ano nagplagues me? And in verse 18, Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? So imagine this tense scene where you're in front of the Pharaoh. If you were Abraham, you just tricked the Pharaoh. Okay? Giuot mo Pharaoh. You deceived the Pharaoh. And you caused the Pharaoh great pains. Experienced plagues. And take note, in their time, in their culture, there's no democracy. There's no like rights for citizens much. Okay? Nasa gurgamay. But the Pharaoh could put you to death or have you imprisoned as he wished. And Abraham was at that position. He just tricked the Pharaoh. And verse 19, amazingly, this is what happens. Why did you say she's your sister? So that I took her for my wife. Abraham, Buang-buang ka. Ano ka gibuhat ninyo na ako? Look at what happened to me. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Parang that's it? Parang if you were Abraham, parang, whew, nakalusot ko ito. Verse 20, and Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Interestingly, even though Abraham had deceived Pharaoh, you know, or done this something this wrong to his wife, Sarah, and all these things, all this chaos that is happening, the only thing that Abraham got was a stern rebuke. Abraham, okay, nakikibot nga sa'yo, pahawa dere. Like, he forced eviction siya. And interesting, that's all that happened. That's all that happened. And after that, he left. He went back to going on his way to his land. And it's interesting because what we can get from this, as God dealt the situation, remember, it was God who revealed these things to Pharaoh. It was God who intervened the schemes of Abraham. It was God who made known to Pharaoh. This Abraham did all these things. And yet, God, in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, could have dealt something much worse to Abraham. You know, he could have stopped Abraham's purpose right there and then have him killed. Abraham, disobey ka na ako. Wala na, revoke na akong promise ni mo. He could have stopped there and then. And yet, Abraham was able to go on his way out of Egypt, even richer, and go back to his land, back to Canaan eventually. And this tells us, when you talk about God's purpose in our lives, God's purpose for us is over and above our failures, shortcomings, mistakes, and even our sins. When we talk about God accomplishing great things for us, His plans, His destiny for us, church, believers, God's purpose for us overrides our failures. For all of us here today, if you've ever discredited yourself thinking, God can no longer use me, and that is why, you know, you're no longer moving in faith, your walk with God is not going anywhere, you're in a stagnant place, you're living in fear like Abraham, naka-survival mode na lang ka. Not everything is going well for you because of certain failures, certain mistakes, or certain sins in your life. And you feel like it's all over. Here's the thing, church, believers, as part of God's family, He has prepared great things for us. He has a purpose, a plan for us. He has saved us. He's rescued us. And His purpose for us does not dissolve or end with our mistakes, with our failures. Look at Abraham. This is just but one or two, rather, of his failures and mistakes. There's more on the way. And yet, if you read the book of Hebrews, there's no mention of Abraham's failures. It all mentions of him and his great faith. When he moved in faith, believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. In fact, after this, in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 17, after Abraham left Egypt, went back to the land of Canaan, in the dry lands of Canaan, after certain other events in his life, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, meaning numerous, as many as the earth. So that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. Verse 17, arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. What was God's original promise to Abraham? I will make you prosper. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you that you will be a blessing to many. And here again, God is affirming Abraham, telling him, look around you. Can you imagine that? Someone will tell you, natawag siya makita nimo. Imuha ng yuta. Everything you see is yours. God told Abraham, what you see, that will be yours and for your offspring, for your descendants. and your descendants will be great as the dust of the earth, as many as that. You will be a great nation. You will be blessed, prosperous, successful. Essentially, God was reaffirming His calling for Abraham. Whatever the first promise God has bestowed on Abraham, God is calling him again, speaking to him again. Abraham, this is my plan, my purpose for you. Yes, you messed up in Egypt. You know, you shouldn't have left Canaan in the first place. You shouldn't have given your wife to the Pharaoh. But my purpose for you remains the same. I'm going to call you to be a great nation, to be a blessing to many. And in verse 18 says here, so Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. This is his third altar now. He built an altar to the Lord to worship God. Essentially, God's purpose will always lead us to worship. It will always lead us realizing what God's purpose is for our lives. Whatever how specific that calling may be, for some of us, we're called to do certain things, to do certain areas in the field and all. At the end of it, it all lead to worshiping God. Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. At the end of it, whatever purpose, specific purpose is from God, it all boils down to this. We will all glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God's purpose for Abraham was for him to glorify God, for other people to glorify God. And for our purposes as well, our great destinies, whatever God wants us to achieve and accomplish, church, at the end of it, we will glorify God. And when we live it out, people will glorify God. As I wrap this up, I want to end with this. Fulfilling God's purpose takes faith. As we talk about the connection with faith and purpose in our lives, God has a great purpose for us, and we live it out by faith. Abraham almost didn't accomplish his great purpose because he lived out in fear for a certain time of his life when he left the promised land and went to Egypt. And yet, because of God's goodness in our lives, church, His purposes for us overrides our failures, our shortcomings. That if we are here today and we feel like we're useless, we feel like, Lord, You can no longer use me. Lord, wala na ko as Your son, as Your daughter. I've made mistakes, Lord. I did this, I did that. You know, the insane thing with God is that His purpose for us remains the same. That no amount of failure and mistakes can ever make God feel like, son, daughter, give up na ko nimo. Humana ang promo sa imong purpose. Expired na. But His purposes for us remains the same. Fulfilling God's purpose takes faith. As we live out in faith, we will be able to live out God's purpose for lives.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.